Welcome to the hour of the time to all of you around the world. William Cooper is still not feeling well, and we're glad that he did the program last night, but it really has delayed his recovery. He's listening at home with his wife, Annie, and his daughter, Pooh, and he's scheduled for us another call-in at this hour. Call in to 602-333-2174 with all of you listeners telling us what is going on in your area in 2 minutes. Try to prepare your talk to tell us what's going on, and I'll open the lines in just a few moments. Keep it accurate and without any accusations that you can't prove. We'd like to hear from someone about Waco and also about the earthquake in Los Angeles. I do know that there's an ice storm that's taken place up in Nashua, New Hampshire. My parents there have reported that they've had an electricity stop for about 3 hour periods. And I've heard this in Massachusetts and Washington, D.C. also. There's a suggestion that you prepare for a lot of these difficulties and get out your gas heaters, for there's probably more to come. Be sure to order the tape of tonight's earlier program. I think the listeners really shared a lot of meaningful information about the dangers we're facing in this country. You can order the tape from CAGI, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. You can also telephone me 7 days a week at 602-333-5174 for information here at the Research Library and Broadcasting Studio of William Cooper's Citizen Agency for Joint Intelligence. That's CAGI. If you send a dollar with a self-addressed stamped envelope, you can get the information packet, ask for the Gannett stock information, and you might even ask to have the book, Behold a Pale Horse, sent at the same time. It'll save time in your getting some vital information for what we have to face in the future. I have a report here from Nova Scotia that someone is waiting there to hear the new program that is being broadcasted out of Newfoundland. I have a letter from Jim Fiddler in Newfoundland saying, "Dear Bill and Carolyn, I'm writing you this letter to tell you some very good news. At 6 p.m. on Friday, January 14th, 1994, The Hour of the Time debuted on CHMR-FM in St. John's, Newfoundland, the oldest city in North America, where Marconi received the first wireless radio signal just after the turn of the century. CHMR-FM is at 93.5, cable 103.7. Jim Fiddler and his group there are going to be working on fundraising for equipment so that they can have live broadcasts. Be sure to listen on Friday from 11 to 12 in the morning. If I mention 6 p.m., please correct that to 11 to 12 on Fridays. Now, we'll open the lines if there's somebody calling in. Here's someone. Hello, you're on the air.
This is Jeffrey Dykem reporting from New Orleans with good news for your campaigns. First of all, I was able to get in contact with the American Family Association and with Focus on the Family and gave them your address. Tonight, the John Birch Society had a meeting in Metairie at the Landmark Hotel with John McManus as featured speaker. I was able to give the address and name of the organization and the program about the stocks at that time and received a few inquiries at that meeting. Of course, McManus has put out a brand new book entitled The Financial Peril, something like that. At any rate, he's going along the same lines as Cooper, in terms of pointing out how the Federal Reserve is putting us into such debt conditions that they want to threaten us with either liquidation or the New World Order, etc. Naturally, he's also promoting aspects of the Birch Society, such as tax reform immediately, in which you take bulletins about your congressman and spread them throughout the district to let people know what your congressmen are doing. All in all, 100 people attended the meeting, and it was very well received.
Well, that's really very good information, and you've really compiled it well to fit into the 2 minutes. I thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, let's see if we can hear from someone else. The number is 333-2174, area code is 602. Is there anyone out there waiting to call in? Here's a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Fine. Where are you calling from?
Fort Worth, Texas. I had called and talked the other evening, and he told me to call back. What I was calling about tonight, I just got out of a meeting we had here in Dallas. It's two Tuesday nights a month. There's a group called the Citizens for Legal Reform. And anyway, Michael Benn was there. He was not the main topic speaker at this group, but he was, you know, Michael Benn is the guy that's putting the impeach Clinton thing together. And he was telling us about a real interesting thing that happened a few weeks ago. Some Secret Service people had come out to his house and was questioning his motives and how his thing got so big so quick and with not that much money behind it. But a few days later, he said real early one morning, he was awoken by some noise. He went outside and said the fog was real heavy, but there were these black military helicopters up above the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit later, a friend of his that lived across the street, his house burnt to the ground. And the more they got to checking, his and Michael Benn's house were constructed exactly the same. And they said they thought lightning had hit this house and burned it down. And he thought it was just very, very interesting how all these things happened just at the same time that these helicopters were hovering right over. And they were so close to his house that they blew 21 shingles off of his roof onto his yard. But evidently they got the wrong house, and his neighbor's house mysteriously burnt to the ground. Thought y'all might be interested in that.
That is interesting. Yeah. Could you tell us again where you're from?
I'm from Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas.
This meeting is in Dallas, Texas. It's the second Tuesday of every single month, and there was about 400 or 500 people at the meeting tonight. And he just got up and gave a short little speech and telling people what was going on. He said at this point he has over 15 million signatures on the petitions to impeach Clinton. He said there is also a trial going on in the Kansas City area that is getting no coverage that has documented proof that Clinton was a KGB agent. I have not even heard of the case, but he was just referring to it and referred how you got no media coverage on this trial at all. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that these black helicopters were above this man's house, and then mysteriously his neighbor's house that looks just like his.
Right. We thank you for calling in for the hour of the time and giving us that information. You will remember that impeachment of President Clinton may not be the route that we'll be able to go, but perhaps if the evidence is clear enough, there will be an impeachment. We'll ask for the next caller, see if there's someone right here calling in. Remember that while you're looking for ways to protect yourself, that you can help us with purchase of Gannett stock. Many people are turning their IRAs in and purchasing stock so that we can go to the stockholders meeting in May and have something to say about more truth getting into the media. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Carolyn, this is Tom in Fort Worth. The other caller did real well, except for one thing. We need to get the word out where Michael Benn can be reached. He can be reached at Post Office Box 671054. Post Office Box 671054, Dallas, Texas 75367. 75367. you can write to Mr. Ben, and he'll send you a package and some petition forms.
Fine. Thank you for your information.
Okay, Carolyn. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We'll get ready now for the next caller. And remember, the number is 1-602-333-2174. That's also our fax number during the day if you have information that you'd like to send along to us. Or you can send it in a letter by mail. Be sure to include the top of the newspaper with the name of the newspaper and the date. All right, here's another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is Connie from Connecticut. I have a slight speech impediment. Bear with. I first started listening to you when you had that young man from Arizona. That was my very first time I heard you, who was besieged by the FCC.
Oh.
Remember him?
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
William Duggan.
Yeah. We need a few more of him around here, desperately. But this place, your earlier caller didn't say, is a hot stronghold of, let's say, the insider power, okay? Half of our Washington delegation is listed as members, and you feel their hands on your throat at every step. I do mean the media, and let's say the Washington Post owns the main papers, the TV affiliates, and we get the news accordingly, okay? So we desperately need a Mr. Duggan in these parts. We have only two AM stations left with Patriots broadcasting locally. We're very glad to have your shortwave here. And we have only one little paper that's telling the truth, the Connecticut Beacon. So, besides that, I just wanted to ask you if perhaps sometime in the near future that Mr. Cooper will do a broadcast on counting the ballots. There's much said. There's a lot of suspicion about the ballots, okay?
All right. You know, he's listening at home, so everybody out there calling in,
yes?
You're talking to him as well as to me.
Yes. Well, that's very much desired by many people that I know, okay? This is a very difficult thing to...
All right. And I know also that if William Duggan is listening out there, you'd probably like to hear from him, too.
Absolutely. How he does it.
Right.
I remember the case very, very well. I was absolutely hypnotized by it.
Thank you for calling in.
I heard him.
Right. Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We'll be waiting now for the next caller. Here they are. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling from Los Angeles. And first of all, I just want to let you know that you're doing a good job in your work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just want to say, I noticed that in certain parts of the nation, it seems like there's a strong patriot movement in other places that people are still kind of, shall we say, in low gear. And I just want to let the people out there know that here in Los Angeles, there is a patriot organization that doesn't really even have any name to it. It's just a bunch of patriots that get together on a weekly basis, and we discuss different issues pertaining to America, the Constitution, and the conflict with the New World Order. And this group has between roughly 50 or 60 people on our weekly meetings, and on a monthly meetings, we have about maybe 200 to 300 people. And this is all done on a grassroots level, and we have our word spread over a talk radio station on the AM band. And the people there go ahead and let you call in and talk about your feelings or your opinion on things, and they'll go ahead and talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and all those lovely things that you don't hear about from NBC News and PBS and the Los Angeles Times and the rest of the establishment media.
It sounds like a good movement. I hope everybody else around the country is listening. Hawaii also, and Alaska. Do you think all of the people that you're involved with have copies of the Constitution, and that their children have copies?
I would say most of them do. I don't know that all of them do, but an awful lot of them know the Constitution well, and we're out there fighting for it on the municipal level, the state level, and on the national level as well.
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, and you have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Bye. All right, we'll wait for the next caller. Here they are, ready to go. Hello, you're on the air.
Carolyn, this is Jim from Northern Michigan. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, just fine. That's great. A little bit of the Middle West, Middle East.
Oh, yeah, about 25 below at night. I hope Dylan is feeling better, and I just wanted to say I listened to Tom Valentine earlier tonight on shortwave and recovering that Waco trial, and it'd be good for people to tune in, you know, to whatever programs they can get information out to find out what's going on. And one more thing, like we were talking about the other night, best to buy your guns and ammo now because it looks like it's the last roundup, if you know what I mean.
Right, and I think we're all out there buying Gannett stock also so that we can get more truth out there to everyone.
Yes, indeed. Well, you have a good night. I'll get off here early and tell Bill thanks for giving out truthful information. Can't believe the big three, so have a good night, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right, we're ready for the next caller. And remember, the number is 602-333-2174. Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Michelle from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hello. Hello, Michelle.
I want some information about this Gannett stock. Where can I get it, and how does it help the show?
All right. We'll deal with that another day. Do you have any information from your area of what's going on? Are you a new listener?
I am a very new listener. I have followed the conspiracy theories for a long time, but this is the most in-depth I've ever heard, and it's fascinating, and I've become a regular listener. But a lot of stuff sort of goes over my head because I have not heard the background.
Right. Well, we'll deal with that on another program. And do you have any information to share from your area? Or
No, not really. Just wanted to find out how I could help.
All right. We'll be talking another time. You can call me right here in the studio. And we'll go on to the next caller for information.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. All right. We're waiting for the next caller. Here they are. Hello. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling from Wisconsin. I just have a sense that your callers maybe are paranoid. I don't know if you're talking about Clinton being a KGB agent. Certainly something like that would have come to light throughout the course of the campaign with as much talk about his affairs with Jennifer Flowers and so forth. Can you give me some sense of what this might be all about?
Well, I think the program tonight is to cover activities that are going on in your own area. The evidence is there, and you can call in later and speak about this. But do you have anything going on in your area that you can share with us?
No, not necessarily. I've just tuned in.
You're a fairly new listener, you mean?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the program, and we'll talk later, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. All right, we'll wait for the next caller here. 333-2174. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Lawrence speaking.
Hello, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm calling from the Laurentian Mountains in Canada.
Great, I hope you have some good news to tell us from Canada about activities going on in your area.
Well, no, that wasn't exactly why I called, because sometimes I can't get you at night, and then when I do get you, some religious music comes in and I can't hear you. How do I write to Bill Cooper?
The address I gave earlier is Post Office
Box. But I just got you.
Right. Post Office Box 1420.
1420.
Sholow, capital S-H-O-W.
H-A-L-O-W.
Capital S-H-O-W, capital L-O-W.
Yes, S-H, yes.
A-Z, Arizona.
Yes.
85.
Yes.
90.
Yes.
1.
Yeah, I wish we had a program like that here in Canada.
Well, tune in. Remember that we broadcast at 6 and 10 p.m. Mountain Time. You can figure out the time in your own
area. Yeah, there is a big time difference, but usually you come on at midnight here.
We'll talk another time because we are focusing on the subject of what's going on in your area.
Yes, I know.
Send in for an information packet.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, don't forget, what's happening down there, it can come up here.
That's right.
And this is why I'm always very interested.
I'm glad you put it that way, because we are fighting for our Constitution and Bill of Rights and freedom in this country, and it is definitely going to affect the rest of the world.
Yeah, because when our Prime Minister was in with Bush all the time, it's affected us, too.
That's right.
So thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you for calling.
Righto. Bye.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll wait for the next caller. Here they are. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland, and I just wanted to give you an update on the raid that happened downtown. I'm not sure if anybody's called in about this, but we have sort of a red light district called The Block. It's about two square blocks not far from our Inner Harbor area, and our governor authorized the National Guard to come in and perform a raid, and they gave many different reasons for coming in, liquor license violations, prostitution, drug distribution, and I think there was a total of 25 warrants that were served. There were some people that were held for about 6 hours or so, handcuffed, and it's supposedly just based on probable cause. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Right. Let me just, while you think, I'll just ask you a question. Was this announced ahead of time? Did people know about this ahead of time?
Not to my knowledge. I heard about this from a report on the Zoe Hieronymus show on WCBM, and she basically said that the Maryland Constitution prevents something like this from happening, that our state constitution is supposed to guarantee that such an action would be authorized by both the governor and the state state legislation, but since the legislation is out, basically the governor has taken upon his hands to perform the raid anyway, and of course we were told that it was basically just to get rid of crime, and I also heard that that actions like this are being performed around the country in order to get funds from the newly passed crime bill, and so a lot of people suspect that was the reason for the raid.
Well, it might be one of the reasons that's given, but we can't always believe everything we hear. Can you tell me what day this happened, and did you find anything reported in the press besides this one radio program?
Yes, it was reported in the Baltimore Sun, and if I'm not mistaken, it happened, it was this past weekend, for the Martin Luther King weekend. It was either, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember though.
Well, thank you very much for your information. That was a good report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we have a new caller. I'll try to keep this down so that you don't get the bad sounds over the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. My name is Tom Jefferson.
I see. We have a special caller. We have a special caller with a very special piece of information. All right, we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Carolyn. My name is Guy Heller. I'm calling from Lambertville, New Jersey.
Hello, Guy.
I just wanted to inform you that around December the 31st, in the Philadelphia Inquirer, they were handing out free leaflets for Freemasonry in Pennsylvania and around the world. And I wanted to know if this was peculiar, if this was a recruitment drive of sorts, seeing they were a secret society. It made me kind of curious on why they'd be putting leaflets in major newspapers.
Maybe we'll hear from some other callers. We did have a few of them sent to us. I believe they're 16 to 20 pages long.
Yeah, exactly. And also I read in the same newspaper on January the 12th, a very famous baseball pitcher named Steve Carlton, who's very popular in Philadelphia, was speaking openly about the Skull and Bone Society, and it's pretty peculiar that people with big names are now realizing what's going on in the conspiracy and it's about 40 degrees below zero here in New Jersey.
Well, thanks for your call, and I think people like you are helping to wake up the sheeple out there that are not aware of what's going on in our country and in the world.
Well, thank you. I also I wanted to know if there was a way that I might be able to get information on when Mr. Cooper would be touring with seminars.
I think the best way is to keep listening. And
okay.
If you purchase the tape of the 6 o'clock program tonight, you might get an inkling of something that might be in the wind, as they say.
Okay, well, okay. I appreciate your time, and good luck to you, and I'm really glad to see you as an addition to the show.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
bye-bye. For calling in. Bye. The number is 333-2174. Here's a new caller. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing? This is Randy in Illinois. I'm in the Chicago area.
Hi, Randy. What's going on in your area?
Well, it's
for a good
cold.
2 minutes.
Okay, it's very cold here. It's 20 below zero. And I must say, the paranoia going across the land is sweeping here, too, on guns. The state of Illinois is... in the verge of passing a what they call a assault weapon ban. Who knows what an assault weapon is? The governor of Illinois proposed it. He's a Republican, and he's been an NRA, National Rifle Association backed man. They've supported him, and he's a gunner himself. Our Republican governor Edgar, and he has been his. Heels have been chewed on by Democrat contenders for governor, and they're all assault weapon banners, and from the Chicago area, and so he proposed this ban. So I guess he's a turncoat. Fortunately, in our house, we have a nice gentleman. He's a Republican named Pate Phillip from DuPage County, where I'm from, west of Chicago, and he says the governor doesn't get everything the governor wants. So he's going to thwart this. The state of Illinois does not have what they call a local preemption bill to preempt local laws on gun issues. So this session, no later than March probably, there will be a law passed saying that only Illinois makes laws governing guns. So Cook County, which is Chicago's county, and Chicago ought to, their illegal gun bans ought to be upturned, and any other thing ought to be, negated. And I just want to say, I know that the federal government has got legislation to ban guns, but I must say that people need to get out there and get involved in their local issues, because it seems like the paranoia to ban guns and the bills that are coming out to ban guns are coming at the local and, lesser government areas. So people need to get down to their county boards and meetings and their state legislatures and their city government, municipal authorities, and they need to get involved, because these are the people. If these people not only ban guns, they tell you can't have them anymore,
Thank you. That's a really good summary. People have to get involved, right?
If the federal government's going to ban guns, they'll probably let you keep what you got. But these local governments, they say you got 2 weeks to get them out of the county, and if you keep them, they're going to put you in jail,
Thanks for your information. I'm glad you called. And remember, if you join the NRA, you've already registered your gun.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, here's our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Miss Nelson. How are you? This is Dr. Sam.
Well, hello, Dr. Sam. How are you tonight?
Oh, just fine.
What information do you have?
Well, the gentleman was talking about Illinois up there and how they're taking your gun rights away. Well, I just want to bring to your attention that a gentleman by the name of Elijah Kent Kane wrote the Illinois Constitution. And he was a 32nd degree Mason, and he also wrote out the rights to keep and bear arms in the state of Illinois. I just wonder how many Illinoisans know this little bit of history.
Thank you for sharing that.
Now, wait just a minute. I got something else I want to tell you, too.
And just be aware, I might have to cut you off if the break comes, but I'll keep you on.
Okay, I just want everyone to go down into the grocery stores and start looking at these triangles that you're seeing on all of your food, on all of these boxes and everything, of cereal and everything. This is this New Age movement that Mr. Cooper's been talking about. And also, look at the U and K on all of your canned goods. This is another New Age kosher tax that's put on food.
Right. And I think many people are counting dozens of triangles and pyramids.
Well, you see them on television and every place else. I mean, right. They're trying to imprint this into people's mind that this New Age movement is good for the American people. But what it is, it's enslavement.
Right. And what
the Masonic order is behind all of this.
Right. And we need to get some... tape over, and
okay.
You want to repeat that last sentence?
Well, I just say I hope all of your listeners will go to their grocery stores and look for these triangles on all of these food and the canned goods and everything and these U's and K's, and then go ask your store merchants what this means and see what they tell you.
Spread the word.
Yeah, ask them and say, what is this here? Am I having to pay a tax on it? They'll find out that they are.
Thank you for calling and for the information.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if I might be able to read a couple paragraphs from an article I found.
We are talking about things that are going on in our area. Can you relate it to your area and what's going on?
It has to do with jury selection for political trials.
All right, a couple of sentences.
It says here, Congressman George Hansen, in testimony before the House Ways and Means Oversight Committee on 4-26-82, described how the wife of the South Dakota man convicted for a tax crime told him that the U.S. attorney had access to information on the personal tax situation of all members of the jury who sat on the case. The defense attorney was embarrassed to ask about it, too embarrassed to ask about it, or even question whether the U.S. attorney was acting properly, but it turned out that he had such information on every person called to serve on every jury, even when the defendant was not being tried for income tax violations. That's one paragraph from an article in the summer issue, 1992, of the Fully Informed Jury Association. The title of the article is How Uncle Sam Bats 1,000 in IRS and Political Trials, and it's page number 28.
Thank you, sir. That's very informative, and I'm going to...
the article.
Pardon?
See if you can find the article for
fine.
Your...
we will. Thank you for your call and for the information. We're going to go into our little music break. Play a little more music at the end from Enya, but at this moment we're going to talk about Swiss America Trading, our sponsor. I want you to call 1-800-BUY-COIN and talk to Gene Miller. Get him to send you the free newsletter and talk to him about ways to protect your assets. As I did at 6 o'clock, I'm going to read you the amendment number 27, proposed by Congress on September 25th, 1789. I wonder if you know when it was ratified. It was May 7th, 1992. We move slowly on some things, but we are steady and strong. Our Constitution is steady and strong. This one says, no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. Amendment number 27, ratified on May 7th, 1992. Call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN. Protect your assets. You know that something is coming. Something is going to happen in our country. Listen to this from the New World Order Connection, which lists the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral, and the Bilderberg Group members, members that run the media, our government, the universities, industry, the military. And remember that William Clinton is a member of all three, and you don't find any of this kind of information in the World Almanac. The Secretary of the Treasury is a foreign agent. Nelson continues by documenting the establishment of the International Monetary Fund, the Fund, and the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the Bank, as alien foreign financial institutions. Number 22, USCA 286, naming the Secretary of the Treasury as the Governor of the Fund and the Bank. Then in 1950, pursuant to the reorganization plan number 26-5, USCA 903, the Secretary of the Treasury was appointed as the receiver in bankruptcy. On August 15, 1971, President Richard Nixon reversed international monetary policy by officially declaring the non-convertibility of the U.S. dollar, the Federal Reserve note, into gold. The Nelson brief proceeds to document evidence that the entire money system and most of the banks of the United States now operate under the control of the International Monetary Fund. Things have been going on for a long time. You need to call Gene Miller at Swiss America Trading and talk to him about how you can protect your assets. Remember the song we played on the program yesterday, Paper Money, written by Carl Klang. Gene Miller has information for you about how you can purchase different types of gold and silver coins, get rid of your paper money. Earlier in the Los Angeles earthquake report, the importance of being prepared was spoken of. It included things like water, food, warm clothing, medical supplies, and money in case you had to go out and purchase something. When things begin to get worse than what they are right now, are you going to have enough gold and silver coins so that you could go out and get that loaf of bread that you are bound to need? Call Gene Miller at Swiss America Trading. Ask him for the newsletter. Talk to him about what you could do. All right, we're ready for another caller. Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. This is Jack from Altadena. I had a report that I thought that Bill would be most interested in and the listeners too. It had to do with us returning from the Sierras coming down 395 and about 4 to 6 minutes past China Lake. I noticed, seeing I was the passenger, we traded off doing the driving schedule. And as I was sitting there, looking out the window towards China Lake direction as we just passed it, I noticed it was a very clear sky, and in the middle, off to heading on the eastern side of the 395 heading south, that's 395, the highway, we noticed I noticed a dark massive cloud just hanging about 1,000 yards off of the highway. I told Joe to pull over, and we studied it, and we turned the lights off and watched this thing. As I watched, I think what we were viewing was some very advanced form of electronic camouflage on a B-2 bomber, parked in anti-grav mode, just sitting right there, because I looked everywhere around with binoculars to find another cloud like this. The reason I believe it was camouflage was because the capability of this technology to obscure the density of the craft itself, like, for instance, the front edge leading wing edge, would apparently show from moment to moment as the cloud would move around the wing and it would kind of enfold, meaning it is an electronic envelope of some sort. When apparently they saw our car pull over and kill the lights, I would think that that cockpit must have been staring straight at us. They must have said, turn and move. And I got the psychic feeling there was actually intelligence sitting there. They turned it, this craft, this cloud, if you will, backed up into an 18-mile-an-hour wind, made a 60-degree flat rotation into the wind directly, and headed off into the wind at about 30 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour. And I thought that you might be interested, your listeners, to hear that there might be additional other kinds of testing going on in the scope of electronic camouflaging, which we should not forget that this technology can be applied to ground-based, solid, stationary sites.
Thank you. That's really very interesting. Can you remind us again the day and...
I will give it exactly. That would be January the 8th, 1994, Saturday, at about 10:54 was the sighting. It was all over by 11:02.
And where was this?
On US 395 heading south, just about 4.5 minutes past the Ridgecrest turnoff. And it seemed, the main thing to say is, I felt that they felt us watching them and turned the craft away. They didn't want to be observed. But I also get the intention that this is how they check whether their camouflage netting system is working properly. They pull the craft up near the highway and see if anyone calls in a UFO report.
Right. Would you tell us again the state?
California.
Okay.
China Lake.
Now, what you're saying again, too, reminds us that we need to keep with us cameras, video cameras, tape recorders, and keep a journal with you so that you can record accurate data as you have shared with us tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent call.
Night.
All right. We'll wait for the next caller. 217-4333-2174. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the guy who called up about the symbols and said that it had to do with the New Age movement. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. If he knows anything about kosher supervision, those are all symbols that are used for kosher supervision. It has nothing to do with the New Age movement. And if he wanted to get a whole guide, a shopping guide for the kosher consumer, he could call the New York State Consumer Protection Board at 99 Washington Avenue, Albany, New York, 12210, and you'd get a listing of about 50 of them.
Thank you for your information.
All right. So at least you have some information there. Also, I don't know of anything going on in New York, which is where I'm calling from, basically the Manhattan area, anything as far as patriots. All I know is patriots for profit out here. There's nobody that's doing any serious work. So I hope there's somebody listening who might get in contact with you and spread the word as to what we can do around here.
Remember, you're there. You have already begun just by being interested and by starting to ask questions. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I think we will have to research that a little further. I find that a lot of the triangular food information, pyramid shapes on the back of loaves of bread is not an accident, though it explains a lot of what is in the foods. Here we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling from Beaumont, Texas. There's something going on here. It's It's really outside of Beaumont. It's a town called Vidor, Texas.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
I'm sure some of our listeners are, too.
Well, it's been in national news because there's an all-white housing project, and they're trying to integrate it. And the federal government, well, Housing and Urban Development, has come down and taken over the housing authority, excuse me, in the county that's right outside of Beaumont. And it seems to me that it's sort of like the order out of chaos theory, because there's really never been any racial strife in recent years in my observance around here. And now this has made national news, and the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan, from outside of Vidor has come in, the Grand Dragon of the KKK of Texas, who is from Waco, has come down. So it's all outsiders that are coming down here, you know, making it look like there's a white separatist type thing down here. Now, Vidor has a history of KKK in it, but I don't know, it's just kind of strange what's going on.
Could you elaborate just a little more on the media coverage? Because you know that much does not enter the media.
Okay. Well, this has made national news. It's been on, it's been on a lot of the talk shows, like Montel Williams came down here. It's been on Current Affair, which they did a very sensationalized type thing. But all the people who are making the uproar from outside the area, like the Grand Dragon from Waco, Texas, what's strange about it, I don't know, Waco is where the Grand Lodge of Freemasonry in Texas is, by the way. Vidor, this area has a lot of strong, you know, Masonic background. Like Beaumont, Texas was really got its start when the Spindle Top Gusher came in the 1900s. And the local university here, Lamar University, was founded or named after Mirabeau B. Lamar, who was a Republic of Texas president. He was a Freemason. Vidor, I was looking in the phone book the other day. There's a place called Tubal Cain Industries in Vidor, and Tubal Cain is the password for the third degree grip or whatever in masonry, which I thought was kind of strange to actually have in Tubal Cain Industries. But I don't know, it's just hard to tell with all this, the media attention on it, and Washington, D.C. coming down here. They asked the whole Housing Authority Board to resign, and they took it over, and they're running it. They just moved in, I think, 10 black families, and they have a fence around it. They have federal marshals are down there.
What kind of a fence?
It's a chain-link fence. They put it around the whole housing project. They're just making a big deal out of nothing, it seems
right.
Like.
The fact that it did hit the media tells you something, because so much of the important news is not reaching us through the regular media.
Right. Well, it seems like this, they've made a media circus out of it to call attention to it.
Right. That includes the newspapers where you're from?
Oh, yeah. And this has been in national papers. It's been on national news. Henry Cisneros was down here. I'm not sure his position in Housing and Urban Development. Maybe he's on the cabinet, I believe. So he was down here. Janet Reno was here, by the way, Monday for Martin Luther King Day, but she had some comments on Vidor, Texas. Texas Monthly Magazine had a cover story about it. They call it the most hate-filled town in America. But I don't think it really is. I think there is racism in every town, but this seems to be the ordo ad caeo type theory to me. That's what it seems like is going on. It's pretty interesting, though. I'm sure if you watch the news, you're going to be hearing more about it, because I believe there may be some actual violence if this goes on. The black families who have been there have had to move out because of supposed harassment. But I think the harassment actually is coming from outside.
Right. We'll look for you for some further information on this, then. Be sure to mail it in or fax it in.
Okay, sure will.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Okay.
Do we have another caller? Here we are. You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, gee, it didn't even ring. Yes, I wanted to talk about some executive orders that were signed by Oklahoma Governor David Walters concerning youth education in Oklahoma.
Very good.
He has signed an executive order, and I'm going to quote from it here. He's established a commission of comprehensive health education. And it says, the commission shall collect and assess relevant data and survey instruments regarding comprehensive health issues, including, but not limited to, the Youth Risk Behavioral Survey, supported by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, this Youth Risk Behavioral Survey is a test, a psychological test, which is being illegally given to students in the public schools in Oklahoma, and they are trying to assess and develop rapid adaptation to change without protest. And a lot of this has to do with sexual attitudes and do your parents smoke or drink or do your parents own guns? And now that owning a gun has become a health issue, this is going to fall under the disease and control prevention situation. And another order that he signed relating to the same thing talks about that the parents have to sign a consent form for their children to take these tests. It says these services shall be held confidential. But then it says all information shared with the schools or any other entity will be released only by informed consent between provider and parent or guardian unless otherwise required by state or federal law. Well, since this Youth Risk Behavioral Survey is supported and funded by the Federal Centers for Disease Control Prevention, that information is required to be released without consent.
We might like to hear from some of the mothers and fathers of the children who are refusing to sign.
Oh, yes. Well, we've had several here, and there's been a big stink in Oklahoma about it, and the news media has carried a lot of information, pro and con. And several parents have refused to allow their children to take the tests, and their children have been kicked out of school. And some teachers are saying, oh, we don't want to do it, and others are saying it's harmless. It's really an inflammatory issue.
Thank you.
And I'm just thankful for homeschool.
That's right. Homeschooling is the move for the present and the future. Thank you for your call, and we'll move on to the next person. I hope you'll get back to us with a follow-up.
I would like to send you faxes of these documents.
Please do. Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night. All right, the next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Carolyn. Sherry from South Dakota.
Hello, Sherry.
Breakfast with a couple senators the other day, and they are going to be doing taking a vote on federal control of all utilities, not only here in South Dakota, but they said it's going to go nationwide.
That is a stunner, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's going to be this legislative time, and I guess within a couple of weeks they'll be voting on it.
And the crime bill, I think, is going to be voted on, too, by the end of February? I think
they didn't say anything about that. They just said that it was pretty much already intact because if they vote no, then they're going to threaten them with withholding funds.
If they vote no on, be clear to the listeners, vote no on what?
On complete federal control of all the utilities, and that's the urban, you know, the rural areas.
Well, this sounds like something that the people could get together and stop and think about what it means to sacrifice or to go without or to do with less in order to uphold your constitution and your rights and not live by federal funds at all times.
Well, one of the senators said if it goes through, which it probably will, he said we will then become the United Socialist States of America. Completely.
Then this is something we have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling, Sherry.
One other thing, I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be sending you half of my tithe. I can't afford to buy the Annex stock, but maybe that'll help. And maybe some others will think about doing that too.
We'll talk about it later. Thank you, Sherry. Good night to everyone around the world. I hope you've listened carefully to the programs at 6 p.m. tonight and 10 p.m. Mountain Time. It's serious, the problems that we're dealing with. Good night.